This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9-1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Morning, everybody. 27 minutes to 5. It's nice to have your company this morning. It's Steve Allen with you until 7. Well, what were people watching on the television last night? Well, over here, people were glued to the television. Over in America, they were glued. It's the final presidential debate, which took place at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And that is where we find LBC's American correspondent, Simon Marks, right now. Simon, good morning.
Hello, Steve. I thought you were going to question whether Las Vegas had a university.
Well, do you know, I was about to make that, and then I suddenly realised that it's called Lost Wages Nevada. So I wasn't going to ask anything.
I'm bound to say I wasn't sure that they did until I came here and discovered that it was hosting the debate. But hosting the debate, it has now managed to do. And the fallout from this debate is underway thick and fast. Republicans and Democrats are still steps away from me in what's known as the spin room, where they go after the debate to tell reporters like me, of whom there are, of course, hundreds here, that their candidate won the debate. But the Republicans are finding themselves beset with questions about one particular thing that Donald Trump said during the course of that debate. And that was the historic moment in which a presidential candidate here in the United States refused to say whether he would accept the outcome of the election if he loses. Now, since the debate ended, his campaign manager Kellyanne Conway has been giving interviews saying he absolutely will accept the outcome of the election if he loses. The head of the Republican Party says absolutely Donald Trump will accept the outcome of the election, but Donald Trump didn't say that, and that's the big story of the night here.
It's interesting. I mean, just before we go back to that, what sort of audience does this get in America? Is it big?
Big, although probably not as big as the first debate and possibly not as large as the second debate for a couple of different reasons. I mean, first of all, the first debate got over 100 million viewers. That was, beyond the kind of audience that the Super Bowl gets here in the United States. And that was because it was the first time out for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And I think that there was just such enormous zoological interest in that debate as almost more of a cultural event than a political one. Now we're, 3 weeks down the road? It feels, to me anyway, like an eternity. And I think interest has somewhat waned, although the television networks expected to be getting audiences of around 50 million people for this debate tonight. Remember, too, though, that in the intervening 3 weeks, quite a lot of Americans have already voted because they have early voting here. And in a place like Florida, you know, a critical swing state where sometimes people vote Republican, sometimes they vote Democratic, over a million voters have already cast their ballots. And, you know, if you've already voted in the election, your interest in sitting through another 90 minutes of Clinton versus Trump may have waned just a bit.
So what are they going for? Are they going for the floating voters? Are they going for the ones who still haven't made up their mind?
Absolutely. The 15% of voters who tell pollsters they are undecided. And critically, the 15% of those voters who live in those battleground states, places like Florida, places like Ohio, places like Pennsylvania and Colorado. And Hillary Clinton came into this debate tonight pretty confident about the state of the opinion polls in many of those swing states. The Democrats definitely think that unless she puts several feet wrong in the days that now lie between today and November the 8th, she will win this election, and they are preparing for government. The Trump campaign really needed a debate performance tonight that not only knocked it out of the park, as they would say over here, but also provided Donald Trump with the opportunity to create historical precedent in overturning the gap that now exists in the polls between him and Hillary Clinton. There is no doubt that this was the strongest performance Donald Trump has put in of the three debates. He had Hillary Clinton on the ropes in a number of areas, including her use of a personal email server, including her record on foreign policy while she was Secretary of State. He assailed her over the situation in Syria and argued again that she bears some responsibility and some culpability for the rise of Islamic State on the ground in Syria. But at the end of the debate, there's no question it's being overshadowed by what is a moment in American political history. A presidential candidate saying that he is not yet ready to guarantee that he will accept the outcome of the election. And that's a big deal here because this, as you know, is a country that prides itself on a democratic tradition that always leads to a peaceful transfer of power, a rancor-free transfer of power. Even if you look back at the contested election when we had all those hanging chads down in Florida and Al Gore was legally challenging in a bid to overcome George W. Bush. Everybody accepted that at the end of the day, when the Supreme Court made its ruling, they were going to accept the outcome of the election. Donald Trump indicated here tonight that he wants to keep everybody in suspense on that issue, and that's the dominant talking point here in Las Vegas, and I suspect in living rooms all over the country.
Absolutely. Of course, the other problem they had was the Bible Belt. They must have been torn between the devil and the deep blue sea. It was Hillary that came with the baggage of Bill, and then there's all the comments and all the shenanigans we've been hearing from the Trump camp.
Well, I think that is a fascinating question, Steve, and one of the interesting questions that analysts are pondering here is how will the evangelical vote break here? Liberty University, which is a Christian university run by the Reverend Jerry Falwell Jr. You may remember the Reverend Jerry Falwell. He headed what was known at the time as the Moral Majority, although many people argued it was neither moral nor a majority. His son now runs Liberty University and has endorsed Donald Trump. But students at Liberty University have rebelled against that and they've said, look, Donald Trump doesn't stand for any of the values of evangelical Christianity, particularly in the aftermath of that leaked Access Hollywood videotape in which he was boasting of groping women. Now, Hillary Clinton equally doesn't necessarily speak the language of evangelical Christianity. Donald Trump tonight tried to underscore his conservative reliability in the early stages of the debate, which, by the way, were remarkable because they were talking about policy. I mean, it was like being dragged back to 1976. And an excellent job, I think we should say, was done by the moderator of the debate, Chris Wallace. But Donald Trump, on the issue of abortion, tried to sound more hard line on the issue of abortion than even the hardliners. I mean, he was talking about late-term abortions, where, as he put it, babies can be ripped out of the womb just days before they might be born. I mean, that's a very clear indication that he knows he's got problems getting the evangelical Christian vote out, and he was trying to, I think, communicate to them that he's a reliable pair of hands, at least on that core issue that matters to a lot of Republicans. Voters.
What we'll do, Simon, I'll leave it there. I'll catch up with you in just under the hour. Hopefully by that time we might have actually grabbed Trump to find out whether or not he's going to retract anything he said.
I will look forward to it, and I shall go and attempt to grab him.
Excellent. Simon, always good to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Steve.
Thank you. Simon Marks, our American correspondent over there at the University of Nevada.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with Steve Allen.
Morning, everybody. 27 minutes to 6. Somebody just wrote to me, a lady called Sally. She says, Simon Marks is an extraordinarily good reporter. I thought that the first time I heard him, and I'm not disappointed this morning. Well, there you go. We're delighted. Well, we bring him back for a second bite of the piece of cake this morning because he's there at the University of Nevada. America sat and watched. Not as many as watched the first debate, but there again, a lot of people have probably made up their minds. And Donald Trump has now made no comment, I hear, as we reported on our news. But here is the man, LBC's American correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, good morning again.
Good morning once again to you, Steve. I think Sally must be an extraordinarily good listener, don't you think?
Absolutely. She's almost near perfection, I think.
Absolutely.
Almost near perfection. The other thing, so Donald Trump is not there.
Donald Trump has left. They've departed. There was some extraordinary choreography at the end of this debate, by the way. The two families did not meet at all after a request by the Clinton campaign to change what is known as the handshake protocol. I have to say, I didn't know there was a handshake protocol at these debates, but apparently there was a rule governing what would happen at the end with the families going on stage together and sort of mingling together. The Clinton people were very concerned that Donald Trump was going to try and get one of the women who has accused Bill Clinton of assaulting her up onto the stage to confront him on national television. And so the Clinton campaign went to the debate organizers and said, when it's over, the families will not be mingling on the stage as usual. So Hillary Clinton, as soon as it was all over, shook the moderator of the debate, Chris Wallace, by the hand and came down and started talking to her family members while Donald Trump remained on the stage. He never shook her hand, she never shook his, and he was then surrounded by his family. It was exceptionally awkward, and I think a reflection of the absolute open disdain that these two people have for one another. I mean, disdain was written all over Hillary Clinton's face during the course of this debate. Partly, I think that's because she can't quite believe that she's having to go through this process of actually debating Donald Trump for the presidency. She didn't particularly enjoy the process of debating Bernie Sanders during the primaries. She's also always had this, I think, feeling of almost being entitled to a relatively problem-free presidential run. But it's also apparent that there's just very bad personal blood between these two people now.
Well, here, for the benefit of those people who've just woken up, here's what's dominating the reaction. Listen to this question from the debate anchor, who is Chris Wallace, and how Donald Trump responds to it.
There is a tradition in this country that at the end of the campaign, the loser concedes to the winner. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
And suspense is exactly what he's done, because he's made no comments since then, has he?
Well, it's an absolutely extraordinary development, Steve. I mean, I think we should actually pause and just reflect on what this means historically. There has not been, in living memory, a candidate for the U.S. presidency who has ever answered that question without simply saying, yes, of course I'm going to accept the outcome of the election. We're a democracy. We pride ourselves on peaceful transitions in government. He was unable to articulate that at this debate tonight, and he must have known the question was coming. Mike Pence, his running mate, earlier in the day, was asked the question and said, absolutely, we're going to accept the outcome of this election, even if we lose. His own daughter, Ivanka Trump, was asked just a couple of hours before the debate whether her dad would accept the outcome of it. She said, yes, if we lose, of course, we'll honor the outcome of the election. He could not articulate it. And that's problematic for him for two reasons. I mean, first of all, on the merits, it's problematic to have a presidential candidate who is talking about this electoral process as being a vast criminal conspiracy, a rigged election designed to stop him from becoming president. But it's also problematic because the only thing anyone is talking about here is that bit of the debate. And in other areas of the debate, he performed quite strongly. He did land some blows on Hillary Clinton on two or three issues. He did advance his argument, I think, quite effectively, and certainly more effectively than he'd done in the previous two debates. All of that is lost because he couldn't say, yes, of course I'll accept the outcome of the election.
And that's the big problem. At the moment, she's running, I think, in the latest poll I looked at from CNN, 52%, he's 38.
Yeah, that's a poll about the debate. That's a poll that's an instant reaction. Who won the debate? There's a couple of them that suggest Hillary Clinton is perceived by viewers of tonight's debate as the winner. She certainly went into the debate 8 points ahead of Donald Trump in national polls, and in many of the battleground states where this election will ultimately be won or lost, those are the states that sometimes vote Democratic, sometimes vote Republican, where the undecided undecided swing voters reside. She was ahead to a degree where her campaign was exuding confidence about the outcome of this election even before this debate began. Now the instant polls tell us she won the debate. I'm always hesitant to embrace those instant polls because, you know, in the cold light of day the following morning, people may come to a different conclusion about how they felt about this debate. But, you know, if you want to know where this election is heading, you just have to peek behind the curtain of the two campaigns. The Clinton campaign is preparing for government. They're measuring up the White House curtains. They're deciding what kind of crockery to order. They are deciding who's going to be Secretary of State and who's going to be Secretary of Defense. They're getting ready to move in. The Trump campaign, behind the scenes, has spent the past few days reaching out to big money donors, asking them if they might be interested in sponsoring and funding a Trump TV news network. And indeed, it was interesting that in the half an hour before the debate got underway here tonight, Donald Trump's campaign hosted a Facebook Live TV program that they said was designed to overcome the bias of the mainstream media here, which they argue is tilted against Donald Trump. But many people here watching it on the debate site here in Las Vegas wondered if this was perhaps the premier broadcast of the Trump television network that he will ultimately go on to build if, as looks increasingly likely, he doesn't win the keys to the White House.
I mean, can we almost put money on the fact that he's lost and she's going to be going in?
Well, you can if you look at the data that's being published here. You know, the New York Times, and let's be clear, Donald Trump's no fan of the New York Times, the failing New York Times, he always called it, even though I think he quite liked it when the New York Times was the newspaper that exclusively revealed Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server some months ago. But the New York Times has tracking numbers every day where they crunch all the numbers and they go through a pretty rigorous analytical process. And this morning it was projecting Hillary Clinton with a 92% probability of being elected the next president. Now, you can't go much higher. How high can you go? You know, a 92% probability of being elected president, which suggests that on election night, when Nick Farrar is in New York and I'm in Washington, D.C., and we're all sitting on the edge of our seats, we may not be sitting on the edge of our seats until very late in the evening. It may all be over very early. There are still the best part of 3 weeks left. Anything can happen. Everything has already happened in this American presidential election campaign. But where we are tonight, it seems almost certain that Hillary Clinton will be the next U.S. president.
Which will be, of course, a first female president. And as I say, I think you're right. She started measuring up the curtains.
They were measuring up the curtains. They were measuring up the curtains months ago, and they were wrong to be doing it then because they were supremely confident that she wasn't going to face any kind of difficulty at the hands of Bernie Sanders. Well, that proved to be wrong. And then they were absolutely certain that she was going to waltz her way to victory. And she hasn't. I mean, she's had it's a much closer race than Hillary Clinton loyalists would like. I mean, they think she should be 15 to 20 points ahead in the polls, and that speaks to her relative weakness as a candidate. But she is nonetheless a candidate, as far as we can all tell here, that at this point is on course for victory.
When Trump claims that the election is rigged, do you think there would be a significant number of voters in those swing states who actually believe him?
No. I mean, I think that he speaks to his core supporters and his bedrock of supporters who say that they think this whole thing is rigged against him. But there is no evidence to support the view that the American electoral process is rigged, not least because in order for it to be rigged, Republican officials in states that they control would have to be in on the rigging. Let's look, for example, at Arizona. It's a state governed by a Republican. They run their election in Arizona. You know, the election's not nationally run. They're run in each of the 50 states by the local jurisdictions. Well, why on earth would the Republican officials in Arizona be in on a process of rigging an election against a Republican candidate? He in the debate tonight, he appeared to offer a slightly different take on what he meant by a rigged election. He suggested that Hillary Clinton, because she was criminal, and as he said in the second debate, belongs in jail, shouldn't have been allowed to run for the presidency. It almost sounded as though he was thinking about mounting some kind of legal challenge to whether she should even be allowed to be a presidential candidate. That's tonight how he defined this issue of a rigged election. The danger in all of this is that, and Hillary Clinton voiced this herself tonight, the danger in all of this is that Americans take a pride in their democratic process and they like to extol its virtues and suggest that countries all over the world should be emulating it. He is dragging that process through the mud and suggesting that actually the shine on American democracy is very, very dull indeed. And there's a danger in that for the civic conversation that's taking place. And Hillary Clinton hit him very hard over it tonight, as indeed did Barack Obama at the White House yesterday when he told Donald Trump to stop whining. And my suspicion is, and we'll see what the polls tell us, but my suspicion is that in those swing states, undecided voters might have some concerns here and there about the democratic process, but generally think of it as being one of America's strengths.
And finally, Simon, if she moves back into the White House, as everybody seems to be predicting, does Bill go with her?
Well, I think that is a very interesting question to which there has not yet been an answer. And since I'm in the game of making predictions tonight, I'll make another one, which may, of course, prove to be completely wrong. I'm not sure Bill Clinton will move into the White House, and I'm certainly not sure he'll play anything approximating the traditional role of first partner, you know, first lady or first husband. It will not surprise me to see a move to make Chelsea Clinton, their daughter, fill that role. Now, she has not been asked about it, Hillary Clinton. They haven't offered any sort of suggestion as to how they're going to handle that. But I can tell you from people who are close to Bill Clinton that the idea of living in the White House and being that first partner, that first spouse, is not something that he particularly relishes. And I suspect it's not something that she especially relishes, because as we've heard here tonight and we heard in the second debate, you know, his own record and their difficult times together during the darkest days of his presidency, you know, she might want to have a clean run at it and not feel that she's constantly being overshadowed by that. However, they have a real partnership. It's a real relationship. They don't necessarily go home to the same house every single night. But I think that is going to be an issue that we're all going to be talking about, you know, the day after or the week after the election's over.
Absolutely. Simon, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for that. I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Steve.
God bless. Thank you very much indeed. Our man in the States with his finger. I just love it when you can throw anything at him and he just comes back with it. I thought about the Bill Clinton thing because somebody else had raised it with me. Will he be moving in there? Very interesting.